You know what? I feel that I'm learning, progressing every day. I think that I'm doing a great job of just playing by the offense and not taking too many shots out of the offense. Keep running through. You know, the pace, just trying to run up and down, but be most energetic and the most mobile big man we can use, and just trying to be versatile.
Hello and welcome to a mailbag edition of the Wolves Wired podcast, part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network Podcast Center. You can follow the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network on Twitter at HPB Network. Be sure to check out the Hardwood Paroxysm season preview. Go to hardwoodparoxysm.com to get that. It's $5 for 300 plus pages of words and original artwork. Subscribe to the HP Quarterly Magazine for an extra $10. So $15 gets you four things of awesome basketball content each year. That's what quarter means, right, Tim?
From what I understand.
Who was the jazz artist today?
It was Herbie Hancock, Maiden Voyage, album of the same name. It's one of my faves.
Herbie Hancock is, in some circles, more commonly known from the movie Tommy Boy.
From
the reference in Tommy Boy.
Our generation knows him more from Tommy Boy.
I certainly do.
My dad got me into him at a young age.
Into jazz or into Tommy
Boy? Into jazz.
Not Tommy Boy?
Not Tommy. I don't think my dad's ever even seen Tommy Boy.
What? That's criminal.
I know.
We'll start the show with some lame news. Programming note, if you will. Until now, our podcast has not had its own channel on iTunes. That has since changed. So search Wolves Wired under podcasts on your iPhone or Apple device, and it should be up there. Until now, it's been under the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network set of podcasts, but now that we have more than five episodes, we should have our own channel that should be available to you. If you don't use Apple products and you're curious as to if there's been another Wolves Wired and you may have missed it and perhaps Tim didn't post it at hardwoodparoxysm.com, which he is known to do.
That might have happened.
I mean, if I had a host site that I could, I mean, we're both at fault, Tim. Check out the Wolves Wired podcast at audioboom.com/channel/Wolves Wired. Audioboom has an app that you can download as well. That's it for programming notes. We may have some news to address later that is pretty exciting, but nothing is for certain there, so we'll leave you with the teaser. Today's episode is the much-anticipated mailbag episode. We have some good questions, and we're going to get to those. But first, we tried to watch the Wolves preseason game versus the Memphis Grizzlies today in your apartment, where we are now. And
that was tough.
It was tough. The illegal stream brought us to yet another shady in-stadium stream, which was the Grizzlies Jumbotron, or what was shown on it. Didn't get to see a whole lot of the game. I do have some notes. Ricky Rubio finished with 0 points, went 0-4, but had 4 assists and 3 rebounds. A very Ricky Rubio-esque line in about 20 minutes of playing time, but it was his first preseason action, so it was good to see him out there. I'm inclined to think he will be ready to go by the season opener on October 29th against the Los Angeles Lakers. Zach LaVine had 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting from the field. Gorgui Dieng led the Wolves in scoring with 12 points on 5 of 9 shooting, including 1 of 2 from 3-point range. The Wolves lost 68 to something. I don't know. The Grizzlies whooped them. I think it was 90 to 68.
It was the feed, as you said, wasn't great. The only thing that might have been worse than the feed itself was the game. It was a terrible game.
Yeah,
it wasn't fun. It was very preseason, if that makes any sense.
Well, at least the Grizzlies didn't even play anybody in their last preseason game, I know, but they had Tony Allen and Mike Conley and even Marc Gasol out there today. So
Zebo, too.
Yeah, the Wolves got some experience against some starting caliber playoff-type veterans. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's just jump right into it. So, questions. We asked you guys on Twitter to email any questions that you have to wolveswired@gmail.com. We encourage you to use the wolveswired@gmail.com mailbox for any feedback that you might have, whether it's to tell us that we suck or that we're awesome or that you have questions. So we would like to make this show a little more interactive in that regard. So again, wolveswired@gmail.com for any of your questions. We'll go right into it. This one's from Zane Meyer. Hey guys, first off, love the show. You guys are great. I know you guys are great because while I listen to Wolves Wired, I am sure to fact check all the stuff you guys say. Okay.
Wow.
Zane references, Tim is wrong less frequently than Zach, so maybe Tim should do more of the talking. Now that I've said enough, says Zane, nice things about you guys. I'm wondering why you two don't talk more about Carl Anthony Towns. We don't talk about Carl Anthony
Towns. We don't, do we?
He's like we take him for granted.
I think after our last podcast, after we had closed it up, I was walking around and turned to you and thought, we didn't mention Towns at all after the first preseason game. And he led the team in scoring, I think, that game. So,
well,
Zane, you are right.
Zane, thank you for your question, first of all. You are correct. We don't talk about Towns enough. At the same time, Towns is the first overall pick. He's gotten enough media attention over the summer.
Also true.
I would imagine. But Zane notes that entering tonight, per 36 minutes, Towns is averaging 19 points, 10 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, and shooting 54% from the field. Per game averages during the preseason, in five games, Towns has averaged a little over 20 minutes, 11.5 points a game, and almost 7 rebounds a game. He's shooting 50% from the field and 90% from the free throw line. So I don't think I've ever, or I've necessarily seen Towns do anything out of ordinary than we expected him to. You, do you?
Is part of the reason that we're not talking about him because he's not necessarily wowing us? He's kind of given us everything that we expected of him right away. He's scoring the ball well at a high efficient level. He's blocking shots. He's rebounding. He's passing well. He's not really making big mistakes because we knew he was a high IQ kid. His numbers don't jump off the page. He's second on the team in scoring in the preseason. Granted, everyone's playing about the same right now, but maybe it's just because he's not blowing us away with what he's doing.
Yeah, and that in a way, that's a good thing for a rookie to come in and
for sure
to not have to pull your hair out or, you know, you want to be like, wow, this guy is amazing. This guy's doing awesome stuff. But how amazing can a rookie 19, 20 years old really be at the NBA level going up against guys like Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph? It has been fun to watch he and Garnett work together on the defensive end. You can tell just by watching him that one of these players has their defensive fundamentals tightened very much so. I shouldn't have to point out who that is. And then the other one's more loosey-goosey. You know, you use too much WD-40 on the part you needed to repair. So we should make it a point to talk about Towns more when it is warranted. In the audio that you heard at the beginning of the show, you noticed that Towns is just trying to bring some versatility to the floor and do things that other Wolves centers, a la Gorgui Dieng and Nikola Pekovic, aren't necessarily great at or don't bring to the table like Towns does.
Right. One of the main, if there was one thing that I really enjoyed from tonight's preseason game, it was there was a play, I think it was in the first half, Garnett came away with the rebound. I think it was Garnett, might have been Rubio. There wasn't much transition defense happening for Memphis, and suddenly you see 7 foot, 6'11", however tall he is, Towns busting his butt down the floor, ended up drawing a foul, but I've never seen a 7-footer run quite like I've seen, like I saw Towns do on that play. To be clear, Towns, he's playing well, right? You'd agree with that. The fact that he's playing the way that most of us, you and I at least, expected him to is a good thing. He was the first overall pick. If he's doing what he's expected to do, that's a good thing. So overall, I think we're both happy with how he's done so far.
Yeah, content would be a way I put it. I guess if there's one Towns moment that stood out to me during the preseason was the last preseason game. Towns got it on the wing. Zach LaVine set a screen for him, and he ended up driving the lane, getting fouled, and finishing the and-one play. And it's almost like, well, that's center doing that. That's pretty incredible.
He's had a lot of those, even on the layup lines. It's sort of become like his patented layup line dunk, the reverse between the legs dunk. It's a center doing that.
Yeah, it's a center. I have a feeling we will truly come to find that Karl Anthony Towns will be a great asset for the Wolves for many years, assuming he can stay healthy. Another thing that has impressed me is his poise and patience, I guess, in post-ups with his back to the basket and being able to pass out of those situations. I didn't really expect that from him. He was forced to do a lot of posting up in college, but in college, when you're bigger than everybody else, you'd much rather back your defender down to the basket and score right over the rim, which is a lot of what he did. But in the NBA, he's not really backing down defenders as much. He's more looking to pass and giving the Wolves that post-up threat, much like many thought, including myself, Jahlil Okafor could do at the NBA level.
Yeah, I thought that was the big difference between he and Okafor, and maybe the big thing that Okafor had over him was when you watch Towns in college, when he was in the post, he was consistent, but his one move was just, you know, a couple dribbles and then turn over the left shoulder hook shot. It went in a lot, but he didn't really have to do much else. Okafor had a plethora of post moves to go to. That was at least a little bit exposed today against Marc Gasol. Granted, Marc Gasol's a defensive player of the year. There were certain points in the game where Towns wanted to just kind of, you know, take it over his shoulder and throw it up there, but Gasol wouldn't let him. Towns has shown that he has some post moves, more than I expected him to, I think. There's still a lot of room to grow for him on that front, though.
Yeah, if we're being critical, we'll be sure to keep an eye on his foul rate when the regular season starts. He has been more aggressive than I think he needs to be at times with trying to score. Not so much passing, but definitely scoring. And even in those times, he's been aggressive, potentially too aggressive. He's ended up getting to the line, and it works out for him anyway. Zane, sorry we didn't get to your question. We just started talking about Karl Anthony Towns. Do you think he'll be in the starting lineup on opening night?
I don't think there's any question.
What kind of impact can he have as a rookie? It's a pretty broad question, Zane, but I think he can...
Positive?
when you have Gorgui Dieng to back you up, I mean, there's really... You can run Towns out there and say, you know, go crazy. And at worst, you bring Dieng in, who is having himself a nice preseason.
Yes.
Next question, number two. Again, thank you for the... for all the kind words said and all the fact-checking that you did.
Same, absolutely.
Which is, you know, sort of creepy, but whatever. This one's from Twitter user Purple Devil Mjoy.
Mjoy,
emoji. Ty Asakite. Ty_Asakite. Sorry for any butchering of your name or anybody else that we may mention. Who scores the token 50-point game this year for the Wolves? So last year was Mo Williams. The year before that, it was Corey Brewer.
The year before that, it was Kevin Love.
Well, is that really surprising, though, the Kevin Love 50-point game?
No, but, I mean, it's become a token 50-point game. It started with Kevin Love. It's a three-year thing. This year, is there a guy that can... Kevin Martin's the only one that could do it, right? He seems to be the logical next guy in line.
That would be... Not only is he able, but he could be motivated.
Right.
I've cheated and looked ahead at some questions, and we were going to be talking about Kevin Martin a little later. But, yeah, I think he had a 40-point game last year, or close to it, if not a 30-point game.
I think he talked about it in media day. I think he had 37 points the day he broke his wrist.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I can't think of any other individual scorer who could put up numbers like that on the Wolves. So I think Kevin Martin's our best answer. Thank you for the question, Ty. Next question, number three, from Michael, at Mike, M-Y-K-E, 612 on the Twitter. Do we have a Ben Simmons scouting report ready and available? Tim, I have no idea who Ben Simmons is.
Ben Simmons is an Australian prospect going to LSU. I think he's the number one overall prospect in the country. I know he's a wing. I know he's athletic. He has. I've watched a couple highlight videos, which, you know, don't showcase weaknesses very often. But I know he's got game. He can play with the ball in his hands. He can dribble. He's got really good footwork getting to the hoop. From the videos I've watched, the thing I noticed is he has sort of a Wiggins-esque spin move to the hoop. He can dunk. he's going to be fun. He's going to LSU, which isn't, you know, historically a great basketball school, so you know he's going to get the ball maybe a la Michael Beasley at Kansas State. But not saying that's going to happen, just saying that's maybe a comparison to look at.
What league is he playing in currently? Just some Australian league? Or could he still be in high school?
I think he came to high school and played in the United States because he was a McDonald's All-American.
Got it.
Not sure what high school.
Mike 612, we will we'll do better. We'll get our Ben Simmons scouting report ready. Probably a little closer to draft time, but hopefully the Wolves aren't in too great of a position to land him in the draft, especially if he's going to be one of the best products next year. Next question from Grant Becker at GBeck10. What can we expect numbers-wise, most importantly minutes, for Nemanja Bjelica? And I think this is potentially the best question so far.
I think we both like this question.
Other than the the first one, which had all the compliments in it. But Bjelica today, I thought it was a fun note. It doesn't mean anything at all, so don't go jumping on my back. But of the Wolves players to play more than 4 minutes in tonight's game, Bjelica was the only one to record a positive plus minus. So not bad. As far as numbers-wise, it's tough to... Last year, I tried to put expectations on Wiggins before the rookie year happened, and I think I said anywhere between 10 to 15 points and 7 rebounds and a couple assists, and he had to guard the opponent's best scorer during the game. Now, obviously, I didn't go back and compare those because I didn't expect Wiggins to end up taking the role that he did take due to all the injuries and things like that.
Yep.
I think the role that Bjelica fits for the Wolves, judging from what we've seen this preseason, would be the starting four guard behind Garnett. So if Garnett isn't playing...
On the days when he sits.
Yep.
Second end of back-to-backs.
Bjelica would get the starting role, and he should definitely be, in my opinion, the first person off the bench to replace Garnett.
I agree with the first part. I think that at the beginning of training camp, and I'm not... This isn't inside information, so don't take it as anything more than speculation. But based on the way that Sam Mitchell used training camp lineups, the scrimmage lineups, opening of the season lineups, first game of the preseason lineups, I think Adrian Payne originally had the backup four positions solidified. I think Bjelica has taken that spot from him. At this point, I think Gorgui Dieng is going to be the first guy to come in to the game for Kevin Garnett.
Really?
Most of the time, that could change. You never know. It just seems like a good fit. And from what I understand, I think Dieng's been coming in for Garnett during the preseason in the first quarter most of the time. Not saying that...
Not for Towns?
For Garnett. Oh, Garnett's generally the first one that comes out.
I guess I see it a little differently. I see Bjelica coming in for Towns, and then...
And Garnett
Gorgui
taking center.
I mean, Gorgui coming in for Towns,
mm-hmm.
and then Bjelica coming in for Garnett. Now, rotations are more complex than we like to make it seem. We like to think that all five players come out, five players come in.
Right.
And
That's only Tubby Smith that does that.
Well, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sam Mitchell sort of staggers his lineups, I guess. Like, do you bring, like, with the links, I'll make a comparison just because it's fresh in my head. Waylon was the first one to come out, and Anna Cruz came in. But Coach Reeve made sure that either Simone Augustus or Maya Moore throughout the playoffs were always in the games,
yep.
a la Oklahoma City did a couple years ago with Durant and Westbrook, and probably will still do. So I guess Tim and I disagree on that question. I don't know.
Well, I'll put it this way. It doesn't necessarily matter who comes in first. I should make that clear.
You're right.
It's the important thing. I think Bjelica is going to play a lot off the bench. I think Shabazz, Muhammad, and Kevin Martin will probably get the most minutes off the bench, but Bjelica won't be far behind. Between those three and Dieng, I would assume Andre Miller also thrown in there. Those are going to be the five guys with the most minutes off the bench.
And just to expound on Bjelica more, because it's obvious that Grant here wanted us to talk about him, he is shooting over 50% from the field. He's 14 of 27 and 9 of 16 from behind the three-point line. Perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He's second only to Karl Anthony Towns in rebounds. From just observing him, he can shoot. That is for real. That is a skill that he has. opposing announcers have gushed over him during preseason games. He, I don't want to say lost, but he's still figuring out how to play the NBA game. He has committed a team-high 12 turnovers throughout the preseason, so he's aggressive sometimes to a fault, but I don't think you mind that from a guy who's coming over. And you know, I'd rather have to corral a guy in than try to make him play with energy. But as we've said on this podcast before, I'm all in on Bielitsa. Yeah. I think he's a great player. I think he's definitely a starting caliber power forward, and he gives you a dynamic that we haven't seen, certainly that Adrian Payne doesn't bring, or anybody else for that matter. Anthony Bennett never brought it.
Yeah, I mean, with the turnovers, part of it, I think, with Bielitsa is he plays that sort of point forward role a lot. He handles the ball. He's proven that he's a pretty good distributor, driving kick type guy. I don't know if he's used to the NBA style of defense where there are guys more willing to gamble in the NBA than there was in Europe. In Europe, I think they play a little bit more conservatively, with obvious exceptions here and there. A lot more stick with your man team defense. So that's something that hopefully he can actually use to his advantage with his high basketball IQ on that end of the floor once he figures it out.
Yeah, if you're looking at his assist numbers, he's got 6 assists throughout the postseason. I don't think that accurately portrays how good of a playmaker he is. A lot of the times when he does make, you know, drive and kick move, he'll end up getting the hockey assist, which of course is not recorded, at least on the regular stats page on NBA.com. Offensive rebounding is another thing. He's not necessarily good at going out and getting the offensive rebound, but making sure he tips it to a teammate. He's got 8 offensive rebounds. It's second to Towns on the team throughout the preseason, so I know that's something that Flip really likes, offensive rebounds, second chance points, and he seems to fit the mold there. On to the next question from Tom Colbury, I believe I pronounced that right. Hey guys, big fan of the show, longtime listener, first time emailer. Oh, this is a long one. Here goes.
How long did this goes to the next page? Oh, no, it doesn't.
So, I really like Adrian Payne. I think he could be a good guy to have in the rotation on a consistent basis.
Starting with a hot take. All right.
Maybe he likes Payne as the person. Let's finish
the question. He's a good guy. Okay.
Perhaps Payne could start on nights Kevin Garnett sits. I think we've just established that Bielitsa will be that guy, but like on the tail end of a back-to-back or something. Maybe Payne would be, you know, maybe you guys can discuss that, but that's not why I'm here. Oh. I saw that tonight Payne wore a headband against the Grizzlies. I think he's done that in other preseason games too. I haven't looked up the stats, but from my eye test, I can tell that Payne doesn't play well when he wears the headband. Here's my question. Does Payne think he's channeling his inner Dante Cunningham or something? And how long until he removes the headband? Because it doesn't seem to be helping. Wow. Tom Colbury. Oh, jeepers. Maybe we can talk to Kenny Ducey of... I know he does some stuff for SI and the extra mustard columns.
Extra mustard.
Last year, Ducey did something on how Carmelo performed based on what hat he wore post-game.
Bucket really? Hat, yeah. I never read that. That sounds like good content.
Have to check that out. Honestly, the headband surprised me too. And when you look at it from afar, if you're not watching on high resolution or high definition television and perhaps an illegal screen, Adrian Payne does kind of look like Dante Cunningham out there.
They're both number 33 now, right?
They both like those mid-range shots. But I can tell you who I would rather have on this roster right now.
Is his name Dante Cunningham?
It's not Adrian Payne.
I still... Can I just talk about Adrian Payne?
Yeah, I don't... I mean...
That's a hard question.
We can do the headband journalism, I guess. I have asked Sylvia Fowles about her headband. The Lynx Center Finals MVP, Sylvia Fowles, that is. I did ask her about her headband tendencies, and mostly she said it has to do with how much she sweats and which one stays on best. So I don't know what Adrian Payne's deal is with the headband, but I can definitely get into that. I have experience in headband journalism.
There you go. That's your field, you
my
and Kenny.
My niche.
I don't know. I still have some hope for Payne. It's fading. I think, and I've written this, that I compare his style of play to a 15-year-old driving an expensive sports car.
Whew. Well, you did go to Edina. You might know a few of those.
Ha, nice.
Sorry.
Nice Wayzata.
Sorry.
Anyway, I mean, he's athletic. He can jump really high. He works really hard. He's always on the move, but he never really seems to know what he's doing.
Tom Colberry didn't ask this, but I'll pose this question to you, Tim. What is Adrian Payne's greatest strength?
His motor.
What is his greatest weakness?
His IQ.
I thought you were going to say his motor again.
No. I mean, he doesn't know how to use his motor. So I think that falls under IQ.
Would you rather have Anthony Bennett or Adrian Payne? I know what Andy at Punch Drunk Wolves would say.
Maybe. I would rather have... Oh, man. I'll say Adrian Payne, but...
You don't need to go further. We can just move on.
I might say Anthony Bennett, too. I don't know. That's tough. Who would you rather have? I think I know what you're going to say.
Anthony Bennett.
Yep. That's what I guessed.
I think if Bielitsa, Tayshaun Prince, and perhaps Rudesh can give you some solid minutes before... I don't think Adrian Payne needs to play.
I don't think he's going to play.
We'll move on. Lucas.
That's a good idea.
From this one's from Twitter, but we encourage you to use the wolveswired@gmail.com inbox. Lucas at the_long2. Well, obviously.
I like that Twitter handle.
Pay some attention to the Wolves. Would you rather fight 10 wolf-sized Nikola Pekoviches or one Pekovic-sized wolf?
Wolf-sized? Okay. So we have to fight them, right?
Yeah.
Wolves are big.
Not dire wolves. I know you and I are both Game of Thrones.
Okay, but yeah.
And dire wolves are huge.
My gauging of the size of wolves is skewed.
Let's go
because of Game of Thrones.
Wolves, from my understanding, are like the size of like a big golden retriever, I guess.
Okay. 10 of those or one wolf the size of Peck. Peck is, what, 6'11", 300?
Bigger than he's listed right now.
Yeah, he's a big boy. We're gonna get tore up either way, I think. I would probably say the one.
I think one, just because those are good odds rather than
yeah.
having to take on 10. I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right now because
yeah.
I'm bored as hell. And an episode I watched last night was Brienne of Tarth in the cage with a wooden stick against the bear. Remember what I'm talking about?
I do.
And so I can see, you know, hopefully I would get a sword or something.
We'd get something to defend ourselves with, right? We're not fighting with our bare hands
even
here.
Even if it's wooden. I mean, Tim, I don't know if you've met Tim or I, but we're not very big dudes.
No.
So I think either way...
We're going to get beat up.
Let's amend the question. We'll go, Tim and I would rather fight two Pekovic-sized wolves. So it would be a two-on-two battle. I think that's our best chances.
Sure. With... Like, we get things to
yeah,
defend course, ourselves.
Yeah, we
with.
Get, like, a wooden sword.
Oh, yeah,
or,
I'm down with
or
that.
Or Valyrian steel, whatever.
That's cool.
Next question, by the way.
That was a good question.
Game of Thrones questions you can ask, too. We're not experts.
Absolutely.
We have opinions. Drew
Mahowald?
Mahowald at MN Sports Drew M. What are the chances Kevin Martin is traded, and what kind of value could the Wolves get for him? I think it's funny, Tim, we talked before about how a couple years ago when Flip Saunders signed Kevin Martin to that contract, sort of to appease Rick Adelman and give it one, or the Wolves give it one last valiant go with,
Kevin Love,
with Love on the team.
Yep.
I know that's an Adelman contract is what we call it. He and Budinger got Adelman contracts. The Wolves are able to flip Budinger for Rudesh. Makes about $1 million guaranteed this year, so that was you didn't really get a lot of value in return for him. Granted, Kevin Martin is a much more productive player than Chase
yes.
Budinger. I think he can still score 20 points a game. I don't know if he can get those in the flow of the game. I think he has to be more of a focal point of an offense. I think you need to run things for him. I don't know if he gets traded this year. I know he's supposed to make $7 million this year and $7 million next year. I think he's going to become a lot more valuable as a trade asset next year when he becomes an expiring deal.
Or this summer.
Or this summer, sure.
I think there's always going to be a market for somebody that can get you 20 points a game and that can shoot at an efficient clip, which he's done throughout his career. By the way, I think it's amazing that he's played for Rick Adelman on three different teams, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I'm not an insider. I don't
Neither
ever claim we're not. So saying what the chances are of him getting traded probably isn't fair. If they want to roll with LaVine as their future two, well, first of all, I would assume that they'd have to make sure that he's going to be the future two and is good enough to do that. They'll probably give him a year.
Apparently he's good enough to start.
Yeah, for the time being, which is a totally different
question. In itself, sure.
So it's, if I had to guess, I'd say
a percentage.
If I had to guess, I'd say they hold on to him this year.
This year, I'm going 15% or less.
I'd say the percentage odds rise somewhat dramatically this summer that he gets traded when he's an expiring, the draft hits, maybe the Wolves, you know, the Wolves will be another year older, the young core will be another year together. That's when I see his value at its highest, especially if he has a good year.
I know you and I are both, you know, trying not to expose too much because we're working on writing something that
stuff
pertains to
content.
This. But Kevin Martin has said in the past he's not so much of a ring chaser. I think he likes an established culture around him. Let's not forget that these are athletes or people.
Yeah.
They're not to pick up and move.
They don't like moving every year.
It's not exactly fun. So I don't think he's all that pissed off about LaVine starting. I just don't. And when you go back and look at how much time he spent with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook or either of those two during his time with OK City, although he did come off the bench, I think starting and bench roles, I think there's a lot made of those that isn't necessarily – there isn't necessarily a lot to look into.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand with Martin off the bench, we talked about this before. On one hand, his 1 year as a sixth man was with OKC. It was – statistically, I think his best year of his career, efficiency-wise. But as you mentioned before we started recording, he played, what, over half of those minutes with Kevin Durant, right?
Definitely, and at least half of them, or close to half of them, with both Westbrook and Durant.
So he was playing with the starters for the most part. With that said, he was coming off the bench. We'll see if that applies to this situation, too.
And with LaVine, let's not forget that Sam Mitchell could very easily have a quick hook.
Yeah,
if he doesn't like to
if he's not playing well during the game, they're not going to just keep him out there and just let him keep chucking or whatever he's doing wrong at the time.
Next question, number 8, Dan Slabaugh at Daniel Slabaugh. I understand his preseason, but why isn't Baz getting the minutes he needs / deserves to get comfortable before the season starts? Well, we scroll down to our Well, notes here. Shabazz Muhammad is playing 15 minutes a game. He's scored 7 points a game, and he's shooting
33%
from not only all over the field, but from behind the 3-point line. He is 8 of 15 from the charity stripe, which is somewhat alarming. I don't think he's had a great preseason by any means.
I get what Daniel is saying to one, like. For example, he's playing less than Tayshaun Prince. He's playing less than Andre Miller. He's playing less than just about every wing on the roster. I think the only guys playing less than him right now are Kevin Garnett, Adrian Payne, and then the two training camp invites, Nick Wiggins and Kleyon Penn. He's coming back from injury. I don't know if that's part of why he's not playing as much right away. It should be noted that Tayshaun Prince actually started tonight's game with Wiggins at the two. So maybe... In the preseason, they experiment with different lineups. I wouldn't look too much into the way they're using him. I do think it's interesting he's only playing 15 minutes a game. I'm hoping that's only due to injury precaution, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, who knows what Sam Mitchell sees in practice that he doesn't like or on film that he doesn't like. I know he didn't they played Toronto in one place in Canada, and then they played Toronto in another place in Canada, and in the first game, some players played that didn't play in the second game and vice versa. He said it. He can't play everybody every game during the preseason. So whether or not this is indicative of how Sam Mitchell will use Shabazz during the regular season, we don't know. You know, Shabazz is definitely not having a great preseason like I would have expected him to. I guess he's underperforming by my standards, but maybe my high expectations for him weren't warranted. Maybe he didn't do enough to deserve that.
Well, so. I don't know. The last time we saw him healthy, he was averaging, I think, 28 minutes a game. It was in December, and he was averaging 18 points a game, and he was shooting at an efficient clip. the big crime from last year, and I think we've talked about it, is that Rubio, Wiggins, and Shabazz never really played together last year. I think they had, what, 7 combined minutes last year?
Yeah, it was not a lot.
And that's kind of the exciting lineup that a lot of people wanted to see, because there were a lot of potential mismatches there with those two at the 2 and the 3, Wiggins and Shabazz, and Rubio running the point. Again, I'm hoping this is injury-related. I'd be pretty bummed out if Tayshaun Prince was taking minutes away from Shabazz.
Pull away.
Well, it's not to take anything away from... I feel like there's a contradiction there. If they're going to start Levine over Martin for development's sake, but play Tayshaun over Shabazz for, you know, the sake of winning now, that's not consistent. But again, this is the preseason. I'm not going to take anything away from rotations.
Nobody panics.
Just everyone relax. Sam Mitchell can't play everybody all the time. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, maybe Shabazz is just working in a game shape.
I'm just ranting.
That's okay.
Don't listen to me.
I rant 80% of our podcasts, I think, is just ramble, rant. Thank you for the question, Dan, as well as Drew, as well as Lucas, as well as Tom before that. John Bender.
Not to be mistaken with the former Pacer, Jonathan Bender, I don't think.
At JB John Bender. Replace old man / mentor Kevin Garnett with peak MVP KG, and how many games do these Wolves win? Well, if we're going to do that, we're going to assume the Wolves are going to stay healthy. So we're going to get a full season of Rubio. We'll leave Pekovic out of the picture, I guess, because saying he's going to sustain adequate health for 82 games is a stretch.
Okay.
I think the Wolves, just to start the conversation off, I say they get the 5th seed in the West.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm associating peak MVP Garnett with 03-04 when he won MVP, right?
That would make sense.
Okay. So they won 58 games that year. The West was deep, probably not as deep as it is now, but he was teamed up with Sam Cassell, who, you know, on paper you might not think.
Was he an All-Star that year?
He was All-NBA second team that year. You had Latrell Sprewell, who was a borderline All-Star.
Best shooting guard in Wolves history, some would say.
Yeah, you can argue that. Wally Szczerbiak came off the bench. He was a, you know, very good bench player. Fred Hoiberg was a very good bench player. They weren't probably as deep talent-wise as this team.
I don't think so either.
But they had veterans that were good.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. I would probably guess about the same. Probably the 5 seed. Garnett could carry that team. Rubio, he never played with a point guard quite like Rubio, passing-wise. Terrell Brandon was a good passer. Around that era, they were between the 5 and the 8 seed.
It would be weird to think about what the Wolves' offense would look like.
It's
because the game has changed somewhat.
I would imagine it would be... You can't stray away from what works, right? You give it to Garnett and you let him do whatever he wants. That's basically what they did. I mean, they ran high screen and pick-and-pop type plays with Cassell and Garnett a lot of the time. It wouldn't work as well with Rubio because Cassell was such a deadly mid-range shooter.
But think about that defense.
That would be a great defensive team between Towns, Wiggins, Rubio, and prime Garnett.
Yeah, there's still a learning curve with Wiggins and Towns, I think, but Garnett does so much for you. I mean, maybe they run that 3-2 matchup zone again, especially with Towns anchoring on the backside and Garnett out front. So we'll say, for the sake of the question, how many games do the Wolves win?
50.
I'll go 59, just because in the West you need to win like 40 games.
That's more than they won the year that they got the 1 seed.
I'm okay with that.
I'm going to say 53.
53?
There you go. I know, it's a difference of 6 games, but that's in the West. That's like a difference between the 3 and the 8, right?
Yeah, I don't have the standings up in front of me. Maybe you can pull those up. We don't have our usual prompt preparation stuff up because this is more of a on-the-fly answer question. So how many, like, what was the last, what are you going to last year?
Oh, well, it brings me to the preseason standings. Thank you, NBA.com.
And not only that, is they're separated by conferences.
Oh, the Wolves are in last. Panic, everybody.
Which is good. So let's see, if we're going to say the 4th or 5th seed at best.
In the West, let's see, the second, that would have given the Wolves the 2nd seed last year.
Ooh.
I said 53, that would have given them the 7th seed.
All right, I'll go to like 55 is what I'll draw mine to. Let's see. Well, what teams finish above them? The Warriors, yes.
Warriors at 67, the Rockets at 56, as did the Clippers. The Blazers were a 4 seed with 51 wins because they won the Northwest.
So if you're reseeding the playoffs this year with our newfound Wolves team, Golden State, San Antonio.
My prediction would put them as the 6 seed.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think we can settle on that.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Good question, John Bender. Thank you. Question number 10, before we go to our fun game of the evening, which I didn't do a good job of teasing throughout the intro to this podcast, but whatever. Working, getting better every day. I'll jot that in my notes. Dan Hilton at SR Killer Whales says, keep Rudez versus keep Lorenzo Brown was a recent topic of discussion on Canis Hoopus. It would be fun to hear it verbally bantered about. So this isn't really a question, but more of a request.
Banter. Do we have to take sides?
Which side do you want?
Rudez. Or Rudesh.
Rudesh. Okay, I'll take Lorenzo Brown. What is the most compelling argument you can make to keep Rudesh on the roster?
It has to do with the Wolves' need for three-point shooters, one. The Wolves are already set with 3-point guards, including a young late first-round pick in Tyus Jones, two. The fact that they're both on guaranteed contracts, but my first 2 points, I think, make Rudesh the choice. I think it's that simple. And on top of that, I'll make a fourth point. I'm not sure about today's game. I don't have the box score pulled up, but from what I understand, he shot at least 50% from three every game so far this preseason and has taken at least 2 3-pointers every game this preseason. He has been steady, and I think he's earned his spot.
I will concede that Rudesh is playing a lot better than I expected to, and perhaps you expected to, based on the conclusions that we should not have drawn from FIBA Zero Basket and some of the numbers last year. He is shooting 43% from the three-point line, almost 44%. He's 10 of 23 overall from the field. He's a very smart player, I think, from what I can tell. The argument for Lorenzo Brown, man.
Sorry.
These questions are tough.
Yeah, man. I took the easy one. You could say that he earned his spot. Sorry, now I'm taking both
sides.
No,
you're okay.
You could say that he earned his spot with the Wolves this year with the way he played for them last year. He has a rapport with some of the guys already on the team.
Yeah, the
and for the record, the reason that he's shooting under 50% now, Rudesh, is because he shot 0-4 tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I suppose the best arguments I can make to keep Lorenzo Brown on the roster was he is a Flip Saunders draft pick.
True.
Ryan Saunders likes him. Before they took off to Summer League, he made it a point to say, don't forget about Lorenzo Brown. He's been a big part of their offseason stuff, and he was a big pickup, as Tim said, for them last year, and he played well for them last year. He seems to be a very competent, poised player that just doesn't seem to be getting the same opportunity that Tyus or Andre Miller is getting. I don't think he has enough experience and knowledge about the league and the nuances of the game that you learn from playing NBA as long as Andre Miller has. I think if Rubio isn't healthy and ready to go at the beginning of the season, maybe you keep Lorenzo Brown just to remain competitive.
That's the thing, and we've talked about this in excess, but you could make the argument, and I haven't really, but I definitely could make the argument that you could have just stuck with Lorenzo Brown, Tyus Jones, and Ricky Rubio and just left Andre Miller in the free agent list.
I'll take it further. Of the 4 point guards on the roster now, Rubio, Miller, Tyus Jones, and Lorenzo Brown. Lorenzo Brown, skill-wise, right now, could be the second best of those players on the
roster. All around, for sure. Yeah, you could definitely make that argument. But as we've said, with the Andre Miller signing, they're not going to sign Andre Miller and then cut him and keep Lorenzo Brown.
No, and they're not going to keep competition around that may hinder Tyus's development or just keep him from playing minutes. So I think, for the sake of the question, Rudesh will stay on the roster. if Rubio's injured, I think this is a completely different story.
I think I agree.
But, I mean, you assume Rubio has good health, and what are we even talking about? We're talking about a third, fourth point guard.
We'll put it this way. If anyone on the Wolves point guard corps gets hurt and Lorenzo Brown is available, I don't think they're even going to look for another guy.
No, and he shouldn't be available. I think another team would pick him up.
A team should pick him up. He developed a fan favorite kind of reputation, didn't he, to an extent? There's kind of a little cult following for Lorenzo Brown?
Kind of. I think we had David Naylor on this podcast once, and he was very high on Lorenzo Brown, and that might have skewed our perception.
I don't think he's alone, though. I think there are people out there that like him.
No. I before the Andre Miller signing, and even after the Andre Miller signing, I was pretty iffy on the Miller signing because of Lorenzo Brown. I think he's a good player. I don't know if I buy veteran leadership as much, but I'm giving the whelp gesture right now. I've tossed my hands up in the air, and I have no idea what to say. But Dan Hilton, good question. Way to bring that up. Thank you for all the questions. Well, thank you very much for the questions. Moving on to perhaps the most exciting part of any podcast that we've done thus far. We're going to play a little game. It's a Twitter game. I guess it's not really a game when it's used on Twitter. I know Snotty Drippin does things like this a lot just to generate conversation. But it's called Max One, Trade One, Cut One. So we've taken 12 players.
Correct.
Who are either Timberwolves Summer League training camp invites or 10-day contract signees. And if you've been following the Wolves for the last few years, you know there are many of these.
Even just last year, there were, five?
A gaggle.
Six, seven?
A gaggle, yeah.
Ridiculous number.
Felt like more than half of the active players on the roster after January last year were probably 10 days.
Probably.
So the purpose of this game is you have two roster spots available. You have three players to choose from. You can either max one of these players, trade one of these players for somebody else, which we don't go down that road, and then you have to cut one of these players. I'll start.
Okay.
With group one. Miroslav Radulica, 10-day contract signee from last year, played on the Serbian national team with Nemanja Bjelica and one of my favorites, Milo Teodosic. Jeff Adrian, Wolves legend Jeff Adrian, beloved by a certain contingent within the Kanasupis community that Dan mentioned in our last question, as well as Chris Johnson, who took Wolves fandom by storm a few years ago. I think it was 2013.
I believe so.
It's another injury ravaged season center.
That was a weird certain news cycle for just kind of a random player.
I know Chris Johnson spent last year in the D League. I know he was at Summer League this year on an NBA Summer League roster, but I don't know if he's cracked the NBA since then. Tim, you have to cut one of the three. Who do you go with?
I cut one. I'm going to cut... Oh, man. This is a tough one.
This is the group of death.
Yeah. I'm going to cut Miroslav Radulica. No.
Oh.
Damn. You go first. No. Chris Johnson.
You're cutting Chris
Johnson. We're cutting Chris Johnson.
And why is that?
I think Jeff Adrian has probably had the most consistent NBA success. I don't want to cut him. Radulica is a giant.
I don't know
how much skill he has, but he knows how to use his size to a certain degree. He proved that in Milwaukee, and he was okay for the Wolves. Chris Johnson was
explosive.
Like
highlight reel.
He is tall. He's athletic. He can dunk. He knew how to play with Rubio, but he's not that good at anything, is he? Like as far as an NBA player goes.
Well, I'm gonna get my turn.
Okay, who do you cut?
I cut Jeff Adrian.
You're trying to start some Twitter fights.
No. I cut Jeff Adrian because if you're in a position, this is a game. We're supposed to have fun.
Uh-huh.
But if you're in a position where you need to keep Jeff Adrian on your roster, you're in trouble. He's an undersized center. He is a decent rebounder. He's not a great scorer. I think he's like 6'8", 6'9". And he's not tall like Radulovic is. He's not a 7-footer. He doesn't give you the highlight reel dunks like Chris Johnson would. If we're trying to maintain an entertaining product, Chris Johnson is a little more entertaining than
than
Jeff Adrian.
But who's better at basketball?
That doesn't have to go into my thinking, does it?
I suppose not.
I don't think either of them is cracked. You know, I'll write this down on the aforementioned notes.
Jeff Adrian most certainly cracked a roster after he got cut by the Wolves.
Well, we'll go.
He went back to the Hornets, I believe.
Which I'll keep a running tally on which one gets an NBA gig next. How's that? And that'll be a little running gag between us.
I think Jeff Adrian is on the Pelicans right now.
Well, I'm cutting Jeff Adrian.
I'm just saying. Okay.
And then
I think I've already spoiled who I'm going to keep, but go on.
I'm trading Radulica. As much as I like Radulica.
I like him too.
I'm trading him.
I'm also trading Radulica.
Well, this is boring, but we kept Chris Johnson. Wow.
No, you kept Chris Johnson. I cut Chris Johnson. I'm maxing Jeff Adrian.
Oh my goodness.
Are you maxing Chris Johnson?
I'm maxing him, yeah.
You're maxing? Okay.
Max contract Chris
Johnson. So the guy that I cut, you max.
I didn't expect
and
to.
Vice versa. Okay.
I was going to keep Radulica for familiarity reasons with Bielitsa.
Sure.
And I like his size.
Oh, is this max one to the Wolves?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, still Jeff Adrian.
Okay. Well, I'm keeping Chris Johnson.
All right.
Because I know the general populace will thoroughly back up my decision to do so. Group number two. Semi-recent invites and...
Two, for sure. Yeah.
One from the beloved Chris Johnson era. We'll start with him. Mikhail Djelabal, who has a prominent role on the French national team, who won not the most recent Eurobasket, but the Eurobasket before that. Brady Heslip, one of the most prolific three-point shooters in NCAA history on the Canadian national team. Couple Wolves Summer League invitations and training camp invites. Sharpshooter, I don't think it's any secret who Brady Heslip is. Robbie Hummel, who another beloved type of Jeff Adrian-like character in terms of he doesn't actually bring much of actual basketball value, but he's a solid player.
Yes. Also, he was a second-round pick. I mean, he was with the team for a couple years, technically, but he had to work his way through the Summer League and training camp. Maybe a 10-day in there, too. So he definitely belongs on this list. Who do you cut? I went first last time.
Robbie Hummel. I'm cutting Robbie.
Oh, man. Okay, we're gonna be disagreeing.
We're polar.
More than I expected, I think.
Well, I'm cutting Robbie Hummel because not a ball handler, not a great rebounder. Definitely never shot the three as well as I thought he could have. And at this point, if he didn't stick around on the Wolves roster long enough, I don't think there's any reason for him to be here.
Okay.
Part of this, too, it has to do with my liking for the other two, but I am cutting Robbie Hummel. Who are you cutting?
Brady Heslip.
Why?
Because he has never cracked an NBA roster, and I think there's a reason behind that. He can shoot the three, yes, better than Hummel. He can't do anything else, really. He can't play point guard efficiently because he can't handle the ball well enough. He doesn't pass well enough. He doesn't defend ones, especially at the NBA level, well enough. Where if we're comparing defense, I think Hummel's a very good team defender and can guard his position fairly well. I also think Hummel's a better rebounder than you're giving him credit for, at least defensively. I don't think Heslip can play. I think Heslip can play in the NBA, but I think the fact that he hasn't cracked a roster in the regular season bodes poorly for him.
But Wolves need shooters.
Sure.
Said it earlier.
I'm cutting Heslip.
Who are you trading?
Djelabal. I like Robbie Hummel. I'm on team Robbie Hummel. I liked him as the team's 12th man. I would have been fine if they just held on to him.
I don't think you're alone.
I'm sure Tayshaun Prince is a better player. I don't think that, unless the mentorship aspect of it is really that great, I don't think the production is going to be that different. I will admit that Robbie didn't shoot the three, as you said, as well as I hoped.
I know, it was very
31% last
very
year.
Deceptive.
He shot it better at the second half of his rookie year, but it fell off his second year.
It felt like every time he shot it, it had a, like, you felt good.
But it rarely went in.
It rarely went in.
Right.
It was so bizarre.
I still like the way he played within the Wolves offense. He knew his role. He didn't shoot it that often. But when he did, I never felt bad. I just felt comfortable as I'm on the floor. I never felt all that great. When I saw Jelibol out there, part of it's because the Wolves had 10 trillion injuries the year he was with the Wolves. I just never felt that great when he was on the floor.
It's like you're going back to your ex-girlfriend. It's the safe pick.
Yeah.
I know you hate it when I bring up the ex-girlfriend factor on the show, but...
Robbie, anyway...
This is a whole different...
I'm trading Jelibol.
This is a whole different conversation if Robbie Hummel doesn't suffer those injuries in college, of course.
For sure.
I'm keeping Jelibol. I'm thinking those last few weeks with the Jelibol, Chris Johnson... That era,
I just have blocked out.
So much excitement for such a bad team.
That team was...
It was fun. You get to call...
fun?
You get to say Mikhail is Jelibolin, or he's a Jeliballer. There's the nickname factor.
My mom called him Jelly Belly.
Jelly Bellies. There you go. Props to Tim's mom. I think he can handle the ball. I think he's a good player. It's sort of bizarre how he doesn't...
He's okay.
I don't know if he's necessarily... pursued an NBA career to the best of his ability. Some of those Europeans tend to stay in Europe.
I think he did originally with Seattle, and I think he was okay with Seattle.
That's right.
His first stint with the NBA, and he was okay. I think kind of like, do you remember Juan Carlos Navarro, the Spanish guard that played with the Grizzlies for a while? He played pretty well and then went back to Spain.
No, but I was going to say Sergio Rodriguez.
Yeah, or
Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez. Yeah. There are examples of guys that come over, play okay, and then go back to Europe because they like it better. That might be Jalabal's deal.
For the
either way, I don't think he was that great with the Wolves, but I think that was a little bit past his prime also.
I think, yeah, now that you mentioned it, if you search Mikhail Jelibol NBA under Google Images, one of the first images that pops up is he's dunking in the Sonics old arena.
Yep.
And it's a professional photo, but he's dunking and KG is under the basket.
I know the photo.
In the black Timberwolves trim. Maybe that'll be our header photo if we put this online. So I'm maxing Jelibol. You're maxing Robbie Hummel.
Team Robbie.
And we're trading, or I'm trading Brady Heslip and then I'm cutting Robbie Hummel.
Okay, so we're different on everyone.
So far, yeah.
I like it.
Group three. Justin Hamilton, that's former D-League Defensive Player of the Year, Justin Hamilton, who cycled between, I think he was between Jeff Adrian and Radulica, or after both of them.
I think he was after both of them and stuck around until the end of the year.
Because he's funny in that he's always in the right place defensively, but the dude can't jump.
Yep.
You can't slide a newspaper under him, one sheet, or like a playing card under him. Terrible jumper, kind of like Zach Randolph. Kirilo Fisenko, Summer League invite last year. Big guy. I don't think he needs an introduction. And then Cleon Penn, who is on the Wolves training camp roster
right now.
Yep. Who I think he's 7 feet and he's huge. He is a giant.
I think the biggest consistency between Fisenko and Penn is that they're both large.
Yes, they're both similar build. I know Fisenko is much more skilled than Penn. And much more NBA experience. Penn was brought aboard. I think he played under Sam Mitchell during the summer in those FIBA competitions. You got to cut one. Which one is it?
I'm cutting Cleon Penn.
I agree. So we agree.
Yes. I don't think he's much more than a big body. I'm sure he's more skilled than he's shown in the preseason and in training camp, but I don't think the NBA is the league for him. That's not a knock on him.
No,
I think he's a professional basketball player, just not the NBA.
And good for Sam Mitchell for bringing somebody.
For sure.
I'm sure Sam Mitchell saw enough to warrant bringing him aboard, even though his fate was probably already sealed. You're trading one. Or should I trade one?
I am trading... Ooh, that's tough. You tell me who you're trading first. I want to hear your reasoning.
Justin Hamilton.
Okay.
Before the Wolves spent time with the Heat, he has somewhat of a reasonable skill in his defense, although his physical capabilities and attributes sort of prevent him from being the player he could be. he can shoot from outside a little bit.
He can.
He's got the outside shot. I think in today's NBA, you can get the most value for him, whereas Fisenko has sort of come and gone throughout the league, and you know what he is, but I'm maxing Fisenko.
I think I like your reasoning. I was on the fence because I think Hamilton's a more well-rounded player, but I think Fisenko, and this is based off a very small sample size of seeing either of them, I think Fisenko is a more... He knows his role better, and he does it pretty well. He was with the Jazz for a couple of years, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he's an okay player. He's bounced around.
He's a good pick and roll player.
But I think he knows how to play, especially offensively, pretty well. Hamilton, I like him. Man, this is tough. But I think I'm actually, I think I'm going consistent with you on this one. Cutting Penn, trading Hamilton. Maxing Fisenko.
I know deciding between which 10-day contract you want to keep can be tough, Tim, but I'll reach across the table and pat you on the back and tell you it's going to be okay.
Thanks, man.
I did get to talk to Zach LaVine during his first summer league about playing with Kyrie Lowe for Fisenko, and you can tell, I mean, it's amazing how much a year or even just, you know, a couple weeks of NBA experience can, the nuances of a pick and roll. I mean, Kyrie Lofosenko can run the pick and roll. He knows what he's doing.
I remember watching them in the summer league. LaVine and Fisenko specifically, they ran the pick and roll about as well as any pair I saw in the summer league last year.
He really liked having the big target to throw to, I remember him saying. But I think Fisenko's problem is conditioning, but he's almost like that guy you bring on for minutes at a time just to give you the offensive spark.
Were you there for the, I think it was the pre-summer league scrimmage exhibition that happened before that season started?
The dunks.
Fisenko was there?
The dunks after dark, yeah.
No, not dunks after dark, before that.
No, I did not go.
There was a moment at the end of the scrimmage where a dunk showcase sort of thing started happening.
Fisenko got in on that.
It was before they had traded for Wiggins, so it was mostly just LaVine showing off. Glenn Robinson III showing off, who we, I guess, could have put on there too.
You're right.
But Fisenko got off a windmill dunk that had the crowd louder than I had really heard it much last year in general.
Final group. This is featuring, you know, I don't know. Final group. Sean Kilpatrick, Doogie Wolfson's favorite ex-Wolf from what I see on the Twitterverse. If you remember, he was signed before a game in which the Wolves played the New York Knicks, only because he was the closest in proximity, and the Wolves needed to have 8 active players on the roster. Lazar Haywood, former first-round pick?
30th overall, traded in to David Kahn traded for the pick, selected Hayward. If our research was correct, he was cut on January 6, 2013, I think a year or two after the Wolves had him, and then signed him to a 10-day contract 2 days later. It was weird.
Did he ever get another NBA gig?
He was with the Thunder for a while, but I think they traded him there.
Huh.
I can't remember. I don't think he's in the NBA right now.
Couldn't tell you where he is now, no. And then Nick Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins' brother, of course, who during this preseason has amassed 13 minutes, 7 points, shooting 60% from the field, okay. Although he missed his one 3-point attempt. Is it your turn or my turn?
It is your turn.
I am cutting Nick Wiggins.
I am also cutting Nick Wiggins.
Well, that's boring. We'll just continue. Who are you trading?
Lazar Haywood.
I'm with you on Lazar Haywood.
I didn't like the pick when it happened. I don't think he's all that good.
I don't
like calling NBA players not good, so I'm gonna retract that. I don't think relative to his competition he's very good.
Fair. I don't even remember who he is.
He can shoot a little bit.
Is he a center? Is he a guard?
He's a small forward. Huh. He's a kind of a thick frame small forward, supposed to be able to shoot the ball, big body, doesn't get pushed around, but isn't all that athletic or fast. Not that great defensively, not a great passer, ball handler. I think he was supposed to be kind of crafty with the ball, a la maybe, I don't want to say Paul Pierce, but you know, that type of player.
No, the from the description you gave me, you know what popped into my head. Josh Childress. Wow. Is that a sort of accurate?
Sort of. Childress was, like, lanky. I don't know. I remember Childress only from his draft because of, you know, the afro and the hat. Mm-hmm. And then when he played for Olympiacos, I think, during the lockout, or maybe a year away from the NBA, he dominated and came back. There was all this excitement, and he wasn't all that good. But anyway, I'm trading Hayward.
So we really disagreed on groups 1 and 2, but we went flush on groups 3 and 4.
Correct.
So you're trading Hayward, is what you said?
I'm trading Lazar Hayward.
And we're both keeping Sean Kilpatrick.
Correct.
I don't think I'm keeping Sean Kilpatrick on his merits. I think he's escaping from a weak group here. I think his weaknesses will be exposed in the bracket play. But
let me present something else. What if we replace Nick Wiggins with Glenn Robinson III? Does this change at all? I think I cut Lazar Hayward in that case.
I still think I'm keeping Sean Kilpatrick.
I think I keep Robinson.
For his...
I don't know.
Because he's got the... What is the word I'm looking for? Not the... Because Glenn Robinson III's dad played in the NBA.
Right.
So he's got the... Help me out. Not moxie, not a veteran moxie, but it starts with a P. We need an intern to help us out. Like Steph, I can't even, I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, it's tough because Kilpatrick's a better shooter than Robinson, but I feel like Robinson, if nothing else, he's got the dunks, right?
The Robinson does?
Yeah.
I've got a soft spot for Kilpatrick just because I liked the Cincinnati teams that he played on.
Sure.
I like mostly their uniforms. Bob Huggins has always been a fascinating character to me in that whenever he gets mad, his face becomes red like Mars. So, I mean, even going back to the Kenyon Martin days, I've had a soft spot for that. So, really, my reasoning for keeping Sean Kilpatrick has nothing to do with Sean Kilpatrick. But
that's the case with most of these, right? You're maxing a guy because...
Yeah, what are we even talking?
You dislike the other guys more.
Oh, except for the Chris Johnson, but
except for Jeff Adrian
and
Robbie Hummel.
So, boys. Of the four that you kept, who were they?
Jeff Adrian, Robbie Hummel, Krylo Fisenko, Sean Kilpatrick.
Yeah, so I have Kilpatrick, Fisenko, Jelibaugh, and Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
If those teams played each other, who wins?
Between the four?
Yeah.
Ooh, probably group two, because they have a point guard, a wing, and Hummel can serve as a big,
sure.
Right? And I think all three of them can shoot.
God, that word is still bugging me.
The
lineage is the word I'm looking for.
That doesn't start with a P.
No, it doesn't. I was wrong.
It starts with an L,
but it starts with an L, you're right. But lineage is what I'm going with. So you wanted to add Glenn Robinson for the lineage factor. Okay, that's
and
fair.
The dunks.
So, well, that was fun. We just got an email. We're not even broadcasting live. WolvesWired email. WolvesWired@gmail.com. This one's from Josh Bragg. Wow. Really enjoy the show. But how come at the beginning we are introduced to the jazz artist and song that plays at the beginning of each program, yet we are never told who makes the metal that plays at the end? From a concerned listener and metalhead, Josh Bragg.
Well, you're the...
I don't think anyone cares about the metal I'm playing, Tim.
Does anyone care about the jazz other than... I know we've had a couple Twitter mentions.
Jeremy Wark loves the jazz.
Ben Schluss.
I love the jazz.
For those who don't know, I picked the jazz tracks at the beginning. Zach picks the metal tracks
I don't think
end.
Anybody listens to the metal at the end.
I think there was one comment on Twitter that was... That got you excited because they asked about the metal track.
Yeah, somebody asked what metalcore band was that, and it was As Blood Runs Black, and maybe because the names are as vulgar as Blood Runs Black, and like tonight, Alicia is on the track.
Ooh.
The track title is called Incinerate. Maybe it's because it's vulgar
That's much more intense than Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock.
Exactly. John Hancock. It's Herbie Hancock. I finally get that now. Until today, I never got
You never knew that? Oh, man.
Never knew who Herbie Hancock was. So, Josh Bragg, tonight's metal track. Alicia is the artist. Incinerate is the song. They haven't been making music since 2007. So, yeah, it's really not that relevant. That's it for the show. We should have another one coming up soon. We'll make a reason to have a podcast coming up soon. Like I said, there's news in the works that we're not officially going to announce today, but look for that in the future. If you have any questions, feedback, concerns, anything like that, Wolves Wired, WOLVES Wired, WIRED at gmail.com is the email. Tim Fakeless, you can find him on Twitter, TimFakeliss. Be sure to spend $5 on that Hardwood Paroxysm basketball preview. I know Tim did.
I did.
And that was a surprise to hear, because Tim's cheap. Did you enjoy the preview?
I did. I haven't gotten through all of it. It's, as you mentioned, 300-plus pages.
I'm just kidding about the cheap thing. Sorry.
Yeah. You can pay my rent this month.
What was your... No, the... Quite frankly, and I don't want to buff this up for the listeners, but the illustrations were fantastic.
The whole thing, I've only read the first few pages and skimmed through it overall, but it's really good. I'm not just saying that because this podcast goes through HP and we're both technically writers for Hardwood Paroxysm. It's really well done. I'm not in it. Zach's in it. He has some good stuff in there. Throughout the book, it's worth $5.
Yeah, if you don't believe us.
It's $5. It's worth it.
Or you can, for the extra $10, spend...
Also worth it.
Pre-subscribe to the other content we'll be publishing at the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network. But if you don't believe us, I think Brent Berry gave it some love on the Twitter.
He did. So Brent Berry. If you don't believe us, believe Brent Berry.
If your NBA TV analyst isn't credentialed enough...
Is he your favorite? This is...
TV personality?
Yeah. Like color commentator, analyst, national, that is.
That's a tough one.
I think he's my favorite.
Yeah, definitely during games, it's between him and Hubie Brown.
I like Hubie Brown. I think he... I don't want to rip him. Yeah, he's getting older, and yeah. I think he's sticking with the stat sheet more than he used to. But back in his day, even 4 or 5 years ago, I think he was the best far away. I think Brent Berry has that title right now.
Yeah, and before Steve Kerr took a coaching
job. Steve Kerr was great.
Steve Kerr was up there, too. So, for Tim, for myself, for the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network, for Tim's roommate, Fink, who has been giggling quietly in the corner, we thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
40,000 people die every day. How come you're not one of them? Yeah! We'll be right back.
There's a fucking faggot now!